And welcome back to Coast to Coast. We're going to have open lines for you for the next hour and a half plus. Did you read where the temperature in Denver dropped 63 degrees in one day? Now, we're going to be in Denver this weekend taping our Beyond Belief programs for the next month. 63 degrees in one day? It was a record drop. It's never happened like that in Denver before like that. I can't remember that happening in any city in a long, long time. I don't know what's going on these days. Wow. And then I head off to St. Louis. We'll be doing the shows there live out of the holidays, out of the cave, and we'll be there. But let's come back in a moment. Let's take open line calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, back with your open line calls. Lots been going on these days. Lots. Just get it off your chest and share your stories with us. Let's start by going to Will in New York City. Welcome to the program. Hey, Will. Good to have you with us.
Hey, George. Thanks for taking my call. And I just wanted to check in because I remember hearing you say earlier in the week that there was going to be a debate between two of your
yes,
analysts.
Next Thursday, the first two hours between Dr. John Curtis and Howard Bloom.
Well, okay. Well, I wanted to ask you, I think it's good that you have them on at the same time, like with a debate to, you know, to, because sometimes you have with this guy, John Curtis, he says all these things, and maybe same thing with the other more liberal guy. Yeah. They'll have an opinion, but they'll state it as if it's a fact. And, you know, it's kind of a drag. And here's one thing that just occurred to me after listening to this guy, John Curtis, the past couple of years. Have you thought about just making Coast a politics-free show? Because
I don't call it politics. I don't see what's happening nowadays, the fate of the country in the hands of an impeachment possible proceeding. I don't call politics. You know, to me, politics is you do a lot of political shows and stuff. This is different. This is a story about the fate of this country. And it's not politics.
Well, I hear you, and I appreciate you taking what I'm saying seriously. What I'm saying is that the way that it's presented by this online columnist fellow when I listen to him, it's very political and it's a very much about a subjective point of view. I know that this topic right now and the purpose of this debate is very, you know, very timely because of the possible impeachment proceedings, but just in general, there's so many great topics that Coast covers well.
Absolutely, and we will continue to do that.
But the politics, not so well.
We don't do the politics. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, I know that's not your intention, but a right-wing guy like John Curtis, that's how it comes across.
Well, but let me ask you this, and by the way, I respect your opinion. Please understand that. If you were a right-winger yourself, would you appreciate Curtis? You probably would. You'd think he was a hero.
Actually, you know what? I listen to Rush Limbaugh. I listen to other
Rush, guys. Sean, all of them. They all lean right.
I listen to all these guys. But the thing on Coast that's so great are other topics.
And they will not stop. Trust me.
Great. Well, I just feel like I hope so, because I learned so many things from Coast that are factual and different. And someone like John Curtis, like he's a cheerleader for Trump.
Well, let me ask you this: how come you're not knocking the other guy, Howard Bloom?
Well, I was going to say, you know what? The fun thing about Howard Bloom, I couldn't think of his name, is that he actually presents his opinions as if they're opinions. He actually is very much soft pedals what he's saying. So he kind of apologizes for it when I've heard him on your program. And in the very, he'll say, well, I'm more liberal, so this is my opinion. And of course, the Republicans will feel differently. So he'll kind of acknowledge that he has a certain bent to it. But I tell you, when John Curtis comes on, he's all, you know, all gangbusters and guns a-blazing and just stating his opinion as if it's fact.
Well, in his mind, it is. That's the thing. But anyways, I appreciate your call. We'll take some other callers. But here's one of the big things that's going on in this country right now, and I have never seen it this way. It is almost unprecedented, where you can't talk to anybody without the other side getting very, very upset. I mean, in the old days, it was dialogue. Okay, you've got your views, I've got mine, and that's the way it is. That's not happening anymore at all. I specifically have two distinct people on to react to news stories from two different perspectives. One leans left, the other leans right. And I have got to tell you, folks, when I would have John Curtis on, all the people who are on the left side will send me emails because they can't stand him. When I have Howard Bloom on, who leans left, I get emails from everybody who's on the right side and can't stand him. We got to get to a point where we don't chastise people because of their views and because we don't understand or get along with them. That's my point. And so we do it. So off we go. Let's go next to our next caller. Welcome to Coast. You are on the air with us. Hello there.
How dare you, George? You know that right now. You know who this is, by the way?
It's J.C. It's got to be.
Webster, the third, God's 10-star general.
You're alive.
George. Oh, yes, very much so. Contrary to the attempts of my life by the Russian mafia, because they know I've got the truth about this dirty dictator, dirty Donald, who's running around collaborating with the Soviet Union, again, making prank calls to Soviet leaders and talking about American secrets and selling us out to the Soviets. George, this is disgusting, what's going on in America. And I tell you right now, what you got to do is you got to get a hold of Ed Gaines. Now, remote viewing is of the devil. Of course, we know this. But I talked to God, and he said this one time we could use Ed Dames to remote view to find Edna and my $10,000. Well, the Lord's money. I should correct that. It's the Lord's money, the $10,000, because George, J.C. Whitford here to save America. J.C. is officially announcing right now that J.C. Whitford is running for president 2020. That's right. J.C. Whitford for president. That's why. J.C. needs the $10,000 back, George.
It's going to cost more than $10,000 to run for president, J.C. What party are you going to use?
Yeah, the Klant Party, the Christian Legion Against Media Pornography Party, my own party. God has anointed J.C. Webster next president of the United States for life. And one of the very first decrees, J.C. as president will use an executive order to outlaw Halloween, because we are in the devil's month now, George. It's getting more demonic everywhere, as you can tell if you just look around, people worshiping the devil openly by putting things on their porch that are desecrating America.
What about the little kids, J.C., dressed up in their little costumes?
Running around. This is how the welfare state gets started, George, is they run around begging for candy from people. They don't have to work for it. They run around dressed up in silly costumes, begging for candy. Then they expect a handout for the rest of their life. And then they all get up on a sugar high, run around and do vandalism all night. It's the worst day in the world, George. The devil's birthday for a reason.
You know, J.C., in all these years, this is the first time you've actually called me without crying.
How dare you insinuate, Mr. Webster? Has been through quite a bit, and sometimes, I tell you what, I've never shed tears on the radio. That's just an outright lie.
No,
George.
It's true. You have done that, especially when Edna disappeared with that biker, and you went nuts.
Nuts is not the word. Being a little upset over $10,000, George, that's quite a bit of money for a humble servant of the Lord, as J.C. is, just a humble servant of the Lord. Not looking to get rich off of $10,000 and make a bunch of money. Oh, no, no, no. Now, listen, J.C. is being ripped off, by the way, too, by that Swedish communist running around. She stole my catchphrase, the little environmentalist talking about how dare you everywhere she's doing that. And we all know, George, that environmentalism is basically of the devil, because they're not telling the truth about global warming. And that's it. It is man-made. It is the sins of man and all the souls going to hell in the center of the earth, heating up the earth, boiling the sewage and stoking the flames, George. It's because sin is rampant in this country. And it all comes back to Dirty Donald and the fact that we would have a president who's... Have you seen the pictures of the First Lady, George?
Yes, of course.
Those terrible, salacious pictures, those horrible pictures where she's running around with nothing on, George.
No, I haven't seen those.
What kind of message is that sending?
I haven't seen those.
Well, listen, in order to maintain surveillance on the enemy, you probably should take a look at what the First Lady's doing to this nation. She's setting a terrible example, George. She's just basically a porn star.
Oh, JC, is that going to be your campaign? Is that what you're going to do?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. And when I debate Dirty Donald, he won't stand a chance against my genius, because the Lord is with me, George.
All right, JC, we'll wait for your announcement officially, and then we'll give you every due that you're deserving, to be sure. Folks, that's JC Webster III. If you don't know him, he used to call and harass Art, and then he picked up and started with me. We haven't heard from him in a long time, but he's out there and kicking, to be sure. Next up, let's go to Karen in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Hi, Karen.
Hi, George.
Follow that one, huh?
Yeah. Huh. I would like to get some information on psychic attacks.
Aha. Uh-huh. Is this happening to you?
Pardon me?
Are you under attack?
I don't know. But I was warned by two people. One, it's a very, in Southern California, I was living in Northern, that who I didn't know, I was going to be attacked through my dreams at night or in my sleep, and to protect the house. In the town where I lived, a gal who I didn't know approached me and said basically the same thing. And I did ask St. Michael to protect each corner of the house. However, my mother-in-law was living with us at the time, and I didn't do the spare bedrooms. And she said she had the worst nightmares she's ever had in her life.
Who do you think, if you're under psychic attack, Karen, who do you think would be doing this to you?
Well, I thought it was a joke from somebody I knew.
What a bad joke.
They said I was somehow threatening, and they wanted to get me out of the picture or something.
Well, psychic attacks happen one of a couple ways. One is there's some kind of demonic force behind it, and they're attacking you for whatever reason. And the other one is somebody, some individual, is doing this for whatever reason. So is there anybody that you would know who would be out to get you?
Yeah, I was volunteering at a healing center, and the woman running it, I was...
So there are some people who would try to do this.
I was in demand, and she just kind of... I don't know. I guess I irked her.
You think she's capable of doing this?
Oh, I don't know. I don't even know. I'm just...
Well, what you got to do...
Just looking into it and seeing...
This is what you need to do. You need to surround yourself in this, as they say, light. You got to be able to meditate and stay strong. And surround yourself with like a bubble of light to keep these spirits, these evil spirits, away from you, or they'll top of you. We take text and tweets. Tom, what do you have for us?
We do indeed, from Miriam in Macon, Georgia. With Halloween coming up, I was wondering if you can recommend a scary movie to me. And in parentheses, she says, I want to scare my kids.
Now, that's interesting. How old? I wonder how old the kids
are. I don't know.
I wouldn't scare the kids.
Well, when she says kids, maybe she means like 16 or something.
That's still, I wouldn't scare the kids. Scare the kids to really scare them or just
no,
to
no,
have
just
fun,
like a scary movie. Fun. It's Halloween.
I don't know. What's the scariest movie you've ever seen? I think it would be It. That's Stephen King.
No, you have a thing with clowns. No.
I don't like clowns.
By far, Nightmare on Elm Street.
Really?
Ah, oh, Freddy's awesome.
With Freddy Krueger and his scratchy nails.
Scary character.
I saw you bolt once when somebody ran their fingers across a chalkboard. You must have thought of Freddy Krueger, huh?
That's not true.
You didn't think of Freddy Krueger?
You're making that up. No. Wait, when does he do that?
He's got those nails.
They don't go across chalkboards.
No,
they go across people's bodies.
But that's what it sounds like.
Okay.
All right. Keep it up with the texts and tweets. I'll get another one from you when we come back after the break. Let's go to David in the Virgin Islands, east of the Rockies. Hi, David. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how are you doing?
Okay, Davey. Good. How about you?
I'm all right. I would extend the Father's Grace prophecy tonight. There's only one person can explain it. The Bible is sealed, right? So anybody who tries to explain it, they'll be telling a lie. And if you tell a lie, that's bearing false witness. So the entire Christian world is the false Christ, the Antichrist.
Well, the Antichrist, some say, is already here. I'm not so sure about that, to be sure. It's a long, long way to the Virgin Islands. But is the Antichrist here? Who knows? June's with us, first-time caller. Hey, June, you're in Ohio, right?
Yeah, Greentown, Ohio, actually.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. What prompted me to call was your guest tonight.
Go ahead, June.
He was talking about when you first start to fall asleep and you have, like faces flash at you.
Yes.
And they're strangers. You don't know who these people are. I thought I was the only one that ever happened to.
Oh, that happens to a lot of people.
It is bizarre. I don't know these people. I'm trying to calm my mind so I can pray because I try to be, you know, I don't want my mind busy when I'm trying to pray because God likes it short and sweet.
Do you think you may have spotted these people somewhere and you just didn't know who they were?
I just don't know. I don't recognize them. They're not family, friends, or even, I mean, I guess we see hundreds of people during the day that we don't really focus on.
Right. But,
you know,
but
I
the
mean?
Brain kind of captures it like a camera, I think.
And it flips like that, like it's fast. You know what I mean? And it could be any ethnicity, any gender, any age. It's really bizarre. But another thing that's my interest has piqued, the lady was talking about the spiritual attack as well.
Yes.
She's
under attack.
Well, I was. This is what I do when something happens or when I have a very bad dream. I pray the Lord's Prayer.
Does it work for you?
Yes, it does.
Huh.
Yes, it does. I believe my nephew, who was tampering and is still probably tampering with dark arts, he was upset with myself and my son. And we were both having horrific nightmares. You know, like I have a car accident and I'm in the body bag.
Oh,
and
God.
And I see them closing up the zipper.
Your nephew was conjuring up all these evil spirits,
right?
And things.
And being, you know, something evil over me and I can't get out of the bed. And I'm in this weird house, you know, and I'm just weird stuff. But they would wake you up and you'd be scared to go to bed because you might dream it again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, you're not alone. That's for sure. We're coming back for more on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. George Norrie with you. This is Coast to Coast AM with open lines. Fires all around us, by the way. You can smell the smoke. It's something else. Let's go to the phones. It's considered now a state of emergency in part of Southern California, by the way. Gordon in Plant City, let's welcome to the program. Hi, Gordon.
George, thanks for taking my call. I guess you heard that my paper on solar flares got published. I'm an official scientist, but I have to address
you. Wait a minute. You're a scientist?
Well, I have the degrees and the training, and you know, I got my—I nearly won the Terry Schiavo case. I get stuff published in the local paper about politics. before I discuss the solar flare issue, which, by the way, you and me and Trump, all three agree, and a lot of liberals agree, too, I want to address the one caller who is against politics. Now, I can understand where they're coming from, but your show is the best one for politics because you have both sides on. You're fair. You're respectful. You demand respect of everyone, and you are more accurate, actually. Now, there's one. The one caller did have a point. I would appreciate it if when you do have callers on about politics, or for that matter, even science, if you could try to get on two guests at the same time on a topic that will disagree with each other on something, but they're not going to kill each other. They are friends with one another.
Well, that's what we're doing. We're doing that Thursday.
Yeah, now the solar flare paper, my solar flare paper was very difficult to write. You finally did notice that it got published and are reviewing the copy that I sent you, right?
Yeah, I heard about that.
Okay, now, here's what the deal is. The other people have written on solar flares, but they are not doing a good job for several reasons. First off, we've had several solar flares that have knocked out parts of the U.S. and Canada, and it was reported on in the news, but it was ignored. So the threat is greater than what we know about, but it's not. There's two scientists that came to conclusions about how likely it is for us to get hit. And I'm not pretending like I'm as smart as Dr. Einstein or Dr. Frankenstein, right? I'm just a low-level scientist, so I'm not going to brag. But the two extremes were wrong, and my measure of around 8% for the next decade looks to be more accurate than the 1% or the 12%. But the Earth's collapsing protective geomagnetic field, the consideration of the Mondare minimum, which is, and the fact that some of these flares happen at solar minimums. Even when you're having a solar minimum, you can have a solar flare incident. And mm-hmm. also, I offer some proposed legislative as well as solutions. Now, at the end of my paper, it looks kind of like one of those guides where you have hurricanes and whatnot. But my paper, and by the way, I did a very linear regression graph. It was very difficult.
Well, tell us what you concluded.
Well, okay, now, my analysis gives an 8.5, if I can remember right, around an 8 or 9% chance of the big one hitting in the next decade. But the thing of it is I'm not sure how accurate it is. I think it's a little bit more accurate than the two scientists that were, one was above me and one was below me. But the thing of it is they're collapsing the magnetic field was not taken in consideration by any of the other scientists ever. And when the magnetic field collapses, we're going to be unprotected from cosmic rays and solar flares. Now, around the poles where the field goes up, the rays come in and they're parallel to, and you have less protection and there's more of a vulnerability, and you have the northern lights and whatnot. But the Earth's magnetic field took 3,000 years to go down about 30% the last time. This time it looks like it's moving it around. It'll need a couple hundred years. The North Magnetic Pole, when the magnetic poles flip, by the way, let me tell you that that's always accompanied by a collapse of the field. Like when the North Pole goes to the South Pole, the North Pole used to be pretty stationary, but in the last couple hundred years, it has been moving at around 55 or 60 kilometers.
That could be
hour.
A disaster if that happens.
Now, listen, I have the degrees. You saw the paper where I cited my degrees. It was published in a peer-reviewed journal. It was a low-level journal, I'll admit.
Well, no, don't put yourself down on that.
Well, no.
It was still a journal.
Listen, would it be all right that you publish my paper and also that since it was published, it's published both on my websites as well as on academia. Can I go ahead and throw out my website for people to take a look?
This time I'll let you. Go ahead.
Okay, GordonWatts.com.
Spell it.
GordonWayneWatts.com.
Spell it. Spell it.
GordonWatts.com. Try to slam my servers. If you can knock them down, I'll come back and I'll admit that we. And I would like for you to give me some financial support because one of my servers has low RAM. It's not as fast. It's got unlimited bandwidth and unlimited disk space, but one of the two servers is low RAM and it takes a second to load. GordonWayneWatts.com. GordonWayneWatts.
I'll ask Tom to see if he wants to write us a check for $100,000. I don't think he'll do it, but I'll ask him anyway. Let's go to a few more callers, and Tom's getting some text and tweets ready as he is right doing his thing. Barry in Rock Hills, South Carolina. Barry?
Hello, George. What a pleasure, as usual. Open lines, and I want to talk about the absolute craziest, zaniest, wild comedy movie, I think, of all time, George. And that was It's a Mad, Mad.
I was just going to say that.
It's
a mad, mad world.
Oh, it was something. I mentioned it to Tommy, and he said, what's the name?
I went to that movie with my buddies. We must have been 15 to 20. I don't know. How old do you think we? What year was that? That came out.
1961. Tommy said he wasn't even born.
I was 11. But I remember going to that movie with my friends, and we just laughed and laughed and laughed. We didn't stop.
George, it started with Jimmy Durante running from the cops before he drove off the side of that mountain, and Mickey Rooney and Buddy Hackett and Jonathan Winters and Milton Berle and Spencer Tracy, of course, with the cop of Santa Rosa.
Was that a Mel Brooks movie?
No, but I can't remember who did produce it or direct it. But it was 2.5 hours long, had an intermission. But it was the zaniest bunch of characters, and Jonathan Winters stole the show. I mean,
they were all great. You're right. That was hilarious.
Oh my gosh! And anyway, I just told Tommy, I said, tonight I want to talk about something funny. And that movie, I've probably seen it.
Did you see the Jerry Lewis movie, The Nutty Professor?
Oh, my gosh, what an idiot he was in that thing.
It was great, wasn't it? What was the name of the guy he transferred into?
Oh, gosh, now, Donna.
Come on. It was the nightclub singer guy, Slick.
Oh, God.
Everybody, he was rude to everybody.
Yeah, like Bill Murray was on Saturday Night Live, the nightclub singer.
Yep, he was taken after him. His name in the movie was Buddy Love.
Oh, yes, it was.
Remember that?
Yes, I do now. It just slipped my mind and all, but I just telling Tommy, I said, I swear that doggone. Phil Silvers, or Arl Stang, the Three Stooges. I mean, every star from the 50s, 60s, and 70s. But the only one missing, George, was Rodney Dangerfield.
Oh, he was a classic.
Oh, my. He's mine and Tommy's favorite comedian.
He was good. Foster Brooks is always a good one, too, in those days.
Oh, absolutely. He was drunk as a skunk the whole time.
He always pretended to be. He was good.
I know it. But listen, Ronnie Dangerfield went to see his doctor one time, and the doctor said, well, you got this and this and this and this. And Ronnie said, well, I want a second opinion. And the doctor said, okay, you're ugly, too.
Yep, he's the best. Thanks, Barry. Text and tweets. There we go.
You guys.
Cracks me up. Old time stuff is good.
This one is from Joe in Palmdale, California. Love the show. What one actor do you think deserves an Academy Award that has not won one yet?
Well, now, see, I would not know who has won them and who hasn't.
Well, who do you like?
But I would, let me ask you this. Do you know if Joaquin Phoenix has an Academy Award, an Oscar?
Off the top of my head, no, but I would bet he does.
If he doesn't, he deserves
one. Oh, yeah, 100%.
By far, for his role in The Joker, to be sure. I was going to ask you a question today.
Yes.
Heath Ledger died of a drug overdose. He played the Joker as well, didn't he?
Fantastic job.
Did they finish that movie or did he die when they were doing it?
I think they finished it.
I think they finished it, yes.
But he was the best Joker.
Or they finished the movie. Maybe he died and they finished it. You know, with lookalikes or something like that.
I think they finished the movie. But the movie that somebody died was Oliver Reed in Gladiator.
He was the
Proximo.
Proximo.
Yeah, he died like, I don't know, something like halfway in it, and they just worked it out.
When we get Russell Crowe on the show, we got to ask him about all those things.
Absolutely.
That was cool. But, yeah, that's great stuff.
See you later.
All right. One more later on for us. Next up, Annie in Alabama. Welcome to the program. Hey, Annie, how you doing?
Thank you, George, for taking my call.
Thank you.
There's a local radio station about to go broke, and I won't say which one. I don't want to embarrass anybody. And they got thrown out of their building, and they've moved into an upstairs. And I'd like to get coast to coast on there. And
what city?
It's in Oneonta, Alabama, and there's a gentleman that works there. He's over 60. He's a senior citizen. He's had a stroke, and he can't climb those stairs, so he's being drummed out of his job. And we all know that's a violation of the Americans with Disabilities Act. If someone quits under pressure because of a hostile work environment,
tell the guy.
Help turn the place around.
Tell the guy. Why don't you email Tommy some information, and he'll see if we can move the show to them. Not move it to them, but let them pick it up.
Well, does it cost them money, or does it cost you money, or what?
It costs us a little bit because we provide them satellite equipment and stuff, but it doesn't cost them much at all. So just give him a call, all right? You need his email address? Tommy? I'm going to put you on for a second. I need you to give everybody your email address if they want to send you an email. Which one do you want to use?
Tom@coasttocoastam.com.
Tom@coasttocoastam.com. Okay, Annie?
All right, Ham.
All right. Write him that. Give him some information. And Tommy works with our affiliate folks all the time, so we'll always see. We're on 640 stations now in North America. It is the top affiliated station show in the country. We have done it with a great team, and that includes Canada, but that's fantastic, to be sure. Cornelius is with us now. My gosh, all the regulars are coming. Corny, welcome to the program. Are you with us? Nope, he's not there. Let's go to Renee in McAllen, Texas. Renee, welcome to the show.
Mr. Noy, it's good to finally talk to you. I was calling about the Black Eyed Kids. I grew up and was raised in Detroit, in Southwest Detroit, near Tiger Stadium.
I know it well.
Right, in the old Ambassador Bridge.
Yep.
And when I was 12 years old, I was coming out of the Western YMCA back in 1970, and I seen two Black Eyed Kids right there in Clark Park, and I was never so terrified. I ran home as fast as I could, like three blocks, and I had the cotton mouth. And I told the story to Richard Seren, and I told it to Ian from Kansas State, and I could never get a hold of you. And I heard you telling the story on your show, but I only caught the last 2 minutes. I got the chills and the hair on the back of my neck raised. But these kids, they weren't identical. They had the black eyes, and they had, like, grayish white features. They were shabbily dressed. And I know you did a show on it a couple years
ago. The guy who wrote the book on the Black Eyed Kids was David Weatherly.
Okay.
And he's an expert on this. And, I mean, did these kids try to get you or anything like that?
They scared me to death like you wouldn't believe. You know, they were right there in the park, just I'd say about 10 yards away from me. And I mean, they looked like they were coming after me, and I never looked back. I ran home as fast as I could.
I don't blame you.
12 years old. And Richard even mentioned, says, well, why would you want to relive this? I said, well, I heard George tell the story, but I only caught the last minute or two. And it just brought back memories. I had nightmares.
Oh, my God. Did you tell your parents, and did they believe you?
Yeah. I would scream in the middle of the night, and my mom would give me a spoonful of sugar, and they knew I was in bad shape. And I wouldn't go back into Clark Park by myself for at least a year till after that summer. But it was the summer of 1970. You know, I was 12 years old.
Whoa, you'll never forget that, Renee.
I've been terrified. I never will, but I wish you could do another story on that.
Oh, yeah, we will.
Great for a Halloween.
We will.
It'd be nice to kind of know when you were doing, you know, when you would do it. Or
well, do you go to our website? Go to our website.
My computer was destroyed in a hailstorm down there.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, if we set it up, I'll mention it a couple days before we do it. So that way, when you're listening to the show, you'll know, okay?
But it was a great story, and it brought back some terrifying memories.
I bet. I would hate to see them come to my house, Black-Eyed Kids. It's they want in, too. Don't let them in. Whatever you do, do not let them in. A couple little notes here, by the way. Like us on Facebook. You can do that by going to our website. Follow us on Twitter. We send out tweets all the time, and they're nice tweets, by the way. So they're information about the show and things like that. We've got a free YouTube channel. I want you to subscribe to it. It's free. Doesn't cost you a dime. You just go to Coast AM Official when you're putting it in the search bar at YouTube, and then just hit the subscribe thing, and then you become a little subscriber to that channel. Or there's a direct link at coasttocoastam.com at the top of the homepage. You'll see the icon for YouTube. Click that, and then just click the subscribe, and again, it's free. And also take advantage of our free Coast Zone newsletter. It's delivered right to your computer every morning after the show, after our webmasters compile it. You can do that, too, at coasttocoastam.com.